Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Just had a couple people come up with donations here as we kick off the Fan 5 Alarm Marathons later in the week at the Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department. Starts Thursday officially, but we're already taking donations today. Bob and I out at the Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union in Wexford, and we got the big boot up here on the table. That last guy just ran up, made his donation, and ran back to his car.
Yeah, he's a member of Diamond Run. He asked us if we're playing golf. You know, a very generous call, gentleman, yes.
Well, he really was, and a lot of people will be in if it's anything like last year's event out here today. Dan Zangrilli has joined us, and on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Mr. Russ Grimm in town for the Joe Moore O-line camp. Of course, the late, great Joe Moore coached at many places, notably Pitt, from 1977 to 85, where he coached men such as Bill Frelich, Mark May, Jimbo Covert, and the guy on the line, Russ Grimm. Russ, how are you, sir? You're on with Bob Pompiani and Joe Starkey.
How you doing, guys?
Good. We're doing great. We're doing great.
I mean, I'm always amazed at Russ's career. I mean, as you know, you think about the player, a Hall of Fame player, position versatility kind of guy, and then 26 years into coaching. So, but you come back every year, and I think this is amazing here, Russ, that these guys over the years were so inspired by Joe Moore that you make it a point to make sure you come back and continue this tradition. How important is that for you?
It's very important. I mean, not only, you know, we have two goals for camp. Number one, we say we're going to make him a better player, and number two, we say we're also going to make you a better person. So, I mean, a lot of the guys that come back in, these guys come back in on their own. They don't get paid. We get them a nice...
Russ, sorry to interrupt. I think we have a problem with the phone limits. If you could figure that one out with the clicking.
I'm going to try to reconnect them.
Bob, what a career. And Russ, I was just going to ask him about the Whitfield Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He's going in Friday night. He already has a field named after him. Why don't you have a field named after you yet?
I haven't done anything to deserve that. He's had a remarkable career. South Moreland High School, I think, where he grew up.
And that's where the field is named after him, right? So, Russ Grimm Field.
Yeah, I always wonder what order this happens. You know, like some of these guys are now up for College Football Hall of Fame, like Alan Faneca, but he's also already in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, how does that work?
Why does it work backwards? And then, you know, Russ is all this stuff, and a field should be like, that's one of those things that should have happened earlier, I think, in the process. But it's better late than never.
You should have a golf course named after you, or at least a bar, Pomp's Bar and Grill.
Hey, Pomp's Place. I was thinking about
Pomp's
Place. We're going to have a fun time. Come on down. I hope I'm one of those bars that people line up around the block and, you know, do away with the competition on the other side.
Well, you already have you and Ron, are your faces still on a cup out at the Brighton Hot Dog Shop?
Yeah. We are on both sides of it. So,
are you honored by that?
Yeah, I was very honored. I mean, they a lot of people came in and got those things. Mostly because of Ron, I'm sure, not me, but it doesn't matter. It's Beaver County pride, man.
Limits, how are we doing back there in the home office?
I think we're good. We connected Russ on a different line, and so far, so good. So he's back.
Russ. You never notified me that he was back.
That's because
we were just going to
keep
talking.
It perfectly, Joe, because when you asked, it was when we connected.
Russ, how are you?
Yes, I'm good. How's it going, guys?
We're going good. We interrupted you there in the middle of talking about kind of what this camp means and you coming back for it.
Yeah, well, like I was saying, the biggest reason is, you know, not only to keep Joe's name alive, but the guys that played with him, they come in on their own. I mean, we give them two nights in a hotel and a couple meals, and I mean, it's a good get-together for us, but it's also to give back to the local kids. And we've had kids come from Maryland, Florida, everywhere else to the camp. So we have a good time doing it.
Well, a big honor for you, I believe, is coming this Friday night. You're headed into the Whitfield Hall of Fame. What does that mean to you, Russ? And what stands out about your high school career at South Moreland?
Well, I mean, that brings it back. My senior year, we only won 3 games. But, you know, I remember we had like 27, 28 guys on the football team. I probably can run off 26 names. I mean, you remember them guys. The thing you miss from football is the camaraderie part. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we weren't that great. But, like I said, I was a quarterback with a full cage and a neck roll because I played middle linebacker on defense.
Quarterback?
But, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Me neither.
Yes, also punted.
Did they let you throw, or what? How did that work?
Well, I didn't throw a lot, maybe 3-4 times a game at the most. But, no, most of the time we just ran it.
Not as
I wouldn't want to tackle him, though. I can tell you that.
No, it also says here you played.
I was a lot smaller back then. I think I was 210 my senior year.
Oh, wow.
And actually, I went to Pitt as a linebacker my first 2 years.
And then what?
Then after the sophomore year, I was playing on some special teams, and Jackie Sherrill called me in to his office. I thought I was in trouble for skipping class or something, but he says, look, he says, we had a lot of guys graduate, Tom Brazosa, Matt Carroll, a bunch of guys graduated on offensive line. He says, we think you can move over and put on the weight and play center. At the time, I was like 240. And I'm thinking, I says, Coach, I said, I've never been in a three-point stance. I says, I think I'll just stay at linebacker. He looks up at me and he says, I'm not asking. I was like,
well. And he must have known what he was talking about because you're a Hall of Famer and played all these different positions.
Well, it worked out well. I mean, but when I first moved, we had a big nose tackle, Dave Logan, that played in the league at Tampa Bay for a while. I mean, spring ball, I was still like 245, 250. He was tossing me around like a rag doll. So I came back in the fall at 270. And then that was my junior year and wanted a starting job. And it kind of took off from there.
Well, it says here go ahead.
Joe Moore was a big part of that. He told me one time, he says, when I first went in, he said, there's no greater feeling than moving a man from point A to point B against his will. And I thought about it for a while, and I said, you know what? I tried it. I liked it, so I played offensive line.
Well, it says you played basketball here, too, in high school, and I know you weren't up to 280 or whatever yet, but still, what kind of basketball player were you? I remember going against Greg Gattuso many years later in a 3-on-3, and I couldn't move him. I can't imagine running into you.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the thing with basketball is, you know, you just got to get up and down the court and got to get position inside and box people out. So, I mean, I was pretty decent at basketball.
How about track and field? What was your event?
Track and field, I threw the weights, shot, the discus, and the javelin.
Did that help you in moving people from point A to point B?
Well, I mean, it still kept me lifting. So, I mean, you really couldn't lift during basketball season because it messes up your touch. I didn't have much touch, but yeah. So, no, you know, you're still lifting weights in the spring, so I went up and started throwing it. Ended up going to, I think I got 5th in the States in the shot put. But
What's the biggest thing when you come back to these camps, Russ, that you see from the kids, things they need, things you tell them? Because things have changed over the years, too. I mean, we're talking about big, you know, some of these high school kids eventually get to be weights that we haven't seen, especially back from your day. So what is your motivational talk to these kids that you have to deal with?
Well, I mean, not so much. You know, the talks we give them is about, you know, stay away from the drugs, be careful with social media because everybody has cell phones now. I mean, make sure you do good in class, respect your parents, treat people the way you want to be treated. I mean, that's the greatest thing about Western PA. I always said, when I come back, I said, the people here are great. So, but, yeah, and then, you know, you're working with the feet and hands and stuff like that, but, you know, for the football part. But the biggest thing is, you know, make sure you've got your P's and Q's. I mean, get you all your I's and T's dot. So.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Russ Grimm on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. He will be inducted into the Whitfield Hall of Fame Friday night. He's also in town for the Joe Moore O-Line Camp, which brings together all kinds of notable linemen from history. It must be an incredible camp. Here's what I want to ask you, Russ, and I don't know if I've asked you this before. I grew up in Buffalo. One of my horrible memories is you and the Hogs steamrolling the Bills, and the famous story from that week was the Bills' defensive line coach, Chuck Dickerson, took a shot at the Hogs going into that game. He was making fun of you guys, and apparently you took it personally. Is that what happened? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember it. Coach Gibbs played it the night before the game. He showed the little video to in the offensive line room, and then he ended up showing it to the whole team, and he said, this is what we got to deal with. And it kind of, yeah, it irritated everybody.
And that guy got fired?
He got fired right after that.
He got fired for doing that?
Marv Levy was not pleased. Yeah, he got fired right after that.
See, you fired a guy based on your performance. That's another great accomplishment you put out there.
I think there was a lot of people that maybe lost jobs because of the performances we had. But, yeah, we tried to make sure Joe Gibbs kept his job.
That brings up another topic, Russ, is that it's often said, you know, if you want to win Super Bowls as a coach in the NFL, you better have like a great, great superstar quarterback. The quarterbacks in Washington were good, but I think Joe Gibbs really sets himself apart in NFL history by winning three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks, none of whom made it to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Do you agree? Right. And what would you say about Joe Gibbs?
Joe was good at putting together the right people. I mean, I've seen him. I mean, we drafted one kid in the first round, a running back or receiver or something. We ended up cutting him, like, the very next year. I mean, Joe wouldn't put up with anything. I mean, he was like, he would, if we drafted a guy that ran 4.5, he had to run 4.5 every time. It's not just you can't run it one time. And the thing is, we won it with three different quarterbacks, three different running backs, and three different sets of wide receivers. So, I mean, it was a mixed-up group. But the main thing that kept together was the offensive line.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how many of them have nicknames like the Hogs? I mean, that's you earn that. That becomes, it's only the result of tremendous play by all of you guys at the same time, which obviously made it much easier for the quarterback.
Well, like Mark Rypien, who's a great quarterback. Great
golfer, by the way, too. He can hit the ball. I've played with him.
Yeah,
I've
he
seen
can
it
hit
firsthand.
It. I just was down at playing in his tournament down in Queensboro, Maryland. He does a fundraiser down there. But Rip, the one year we won a Super Bowl against Buffalo, I think he was only sacked 9 times all year.
Wow. Well, that brings up the Steelers, too, because they've put a lot of investment into this offensive line. They're going to have a first-round pick at both tackles, a high-round pick at center, a big free agent from a year ago or whenever it was in Seumalo. And that really can be – that you guys were proof that an offensive line can really be the backbone of a team. I know you're biased in this, Russ, but I think that's true. And you guys were proof, right?
Yes. And I know Arthur Smith. I coached with Art at Tennessee. And, I mean, he knows what he's – and he likes to run the ball. So, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, you like to have some seasoned vets. But, like, when we got the nickname Hogs, we had, like, four rookies starting up front. Myself, Jacoby, Jeff Bostic, Mark Mack. So, I mean, young people can play. I mean, you just got to get the right type of guys.
How important is it to have, like we saw last year, Broderick Jones here play the right tackle. Now his natural position is left tackle. I know you made, you were at center, guard, tackle even. Am I right in thinking that? I remember you at times at tackle. How important is it to have that ability to do it, on offensive line?
Well, you have to be able to do it because normally offensive line, especially at the professional level, you can only activate, you only have like 7, possibly 8 players at the position.
Right.
So I know most of the time when I was coaching, it was 7. So obviously your backups had to play, like you had a backup guard, but he could play center. You had a backup tackle, but he could slide into guard. you had guards that could move out to tackle. You had to have those versatile people to be able to move around in case of an injury, because it's not like, you know, all of a sudden, hey, we need another center. Oh, we don't have one. It's not active. Somebody has to snap it.
Russ Grimm, appreciate the time. Before I let you go, Russ, I wanted to ask you, your sons have had some interesting careers in football as well. What are they up to these days?
No, I got two kids living in Northern Virginia. The other two, the two older boys are in, Cody's in Tampa Bay, Chad's in Jacksonville. Cody is not coaching this year. He's still looking to get back in. I don't know what he's going to do. He's enjoying hunting and fishing right now, so he's still living off the other paychecks. So, but yeah, he got a Super Bowl ring with Tampa when Tom Brady was there, so he was all excited about that, and then he went to Jacksonville. Chad, the older one, he coached it with me at Arizona and then coached with me in San Diego, and then he was back in Washington for a while, but he's out of it now. He's in the real estate business, so.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, speaking of hunting and fishing, Bob Walk, a former Pirate pitcher, joined us on Friday and, in fact, just walked up here, no pun intended, Russ, and he had a turkey call. See if you can recognize this turkey call. I guess among you hunters, this is well known. Limits, can you play Russ Bob's turkey call? What do you think, Russ? Pretty good?
That sounds like a sick turkey.
Thank you, Russ.
Russ, always a pleasure.
Congratulations.
Take care, guys. Thank you.
All right. Can you imagine him as a high school quarterback,
no, Bob? No, I can't. But he said they only – back then, you remember those days, quarterbacks never threw the ball. You threw
with a neck roll.
With a neck roll. So, but then things have changed, and now people are out there throwing. You got slingers all over the place. So, it's always good to hit catch up with Russ Grimm. I'm glad he's going. It's a long overdue, but I'm sure those classes are every year. It's a competitive situation getting the WPIA Hall of Fame.
And we're going to get plenty more guests from the Joe Moore camp this week. That happens every year with our friend Joey over there. So Bob Walk has entered the premises. This is incredible, Bob. So has Dan Zangrilli. Would we hurt Dan's feelings if we went to Bob first coming up?
I don't think Dan would mind that,
okay.
Do you?
Yeah, why don't we do that? Bob Walk, hopefully, will say yes and join us next year. We're Allegiant Federal Credit Union here, and you can stop by. The official name, Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union in Wexford, and help us kick off here the Fan 5-Alarm Marathon. That's officially Thursday at Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department. But people have been walking up helping us fill the boot. You just walk up to our table, say hello to Bob, and help us fill that boot, right, Bob?
You're right, and people have been generous to do it. We want to see more people out here. Again, Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union has been a big part of this, and they're supporting this 5-Alarm Fire. And, again, the bottom line is trying to help people who have given up their time as volunteers mostly to go out and put their lives at risk trying to help others save theirs. So that's what we're doing this for, and hopefully you'll be able to step up and, come down and fill the boot.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.